News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, Copper, that monologue, I think we can call that one Because I Said So, that's why.
Okay.
Go ahead and call it that. Now, listen, I got to add, so like Charlene just texted me, the example that I gave of don't ask me if little Johnny can spend the night while he's standing right there staring at me. That she laughed out loud at that one. Tell me, there had to have been a time in your life growing up when your parents just said, because I said so, that's why. You weren't that good of a child, were you? Were you just perfect?
Yeah, they said that.
So you were a knothead too, is that what you're saying? Knotheads transcend all generations.
We're all sinners here.
Well, listen, folks, like I said, I mean, it's fine. It's one of those things that parents do. It's something we say sometimes, but here's the reality. Government should not be saying that to you. It should not. And so I will just try to unpack for you some things that are happening right now that I really believe is an indication that government's been trying to say, because I said so, that's why. And it's not good policy. And I've got a number of things to lay out here, just trying to give you an idea of how these policies have gotten down to the point that it's created supply chain madness right now. Like, why is it they're saying you won't be able to buy everything you want for Christmas? That's crazy. I mean, the economy is supposed to be booming now, we're told, and yet you can't get stuff on the store shelves. Why would that be? Maybe it's because of policies. I'm looking at a tweet right now. This came from a guy named Jason Meister that I follow on Twitter. He just said it very well, so I just printed it out. He says, there is no possible way to surrender the southern border, the economy, Afghanistan, global supply chains, and the airline industry in less than 10 months without a dedicated team working overtime to achieve it. It's all by design. It does feel that way. It does feel that way. You look at it and think, okay, either you guys are just really stupid or this is really calculated because you intended to do certain things. Did you not for a second think that was going to happen? Like, for instance, why is our supply chain so jacked up? We're going to talk about that more in a minute, but part of the reason is because government chose to pay people to not come back to work. Really, in most places, many states, up until just the last few weeks. I mean, for the love. So they're wondering why they have nobody to unload the ships at the ports or to ship the goods across country on trucks. Maybe because government, your policies have been keeping people out of work instead of at work. And now all of a sudden you're panicking because, oh, look, we have 70 ships off the port of Long Beach. The port in Savannah is even backed up. But then you have to look at other policies too. I mean, like, for instance, they thought that they would throw a bunch of cash at people. And if you remember, I'm looking at an article right now from Politico. You know I got paper. I always got paper right here. So the Politico article I'm looking at right now literally is titled, Dems Thought Giving Voters Cash Was the Key to Success, So What Happened? Well, the result was a COVID relief package, if you remember, direct payments of almost $1,400 to most Americans, $300 a week in unemployment insurance supplements, an expansion of the child tax credit that comes to you in actual money per month. 9 months later, it says whatever political benefits were supposed to have accrued from that package have seemingly faded. How about that? A Politico, this is just last week, I think it was. Yep, just the last few days. A Politico Morning Consult poll released last week showed that 61% of respondents said they had indeed received the credit, a $300 payment per month for every child under the age of 7, and a $250 per month payment for every child under the age of 17, but that only 39% said the payment had a major impact on their lives. You think? And while 47% of respondents credited Democrats for passing it, only 38% even mentioned Joe Biden. So what you're looking at here is they threw cash, and far less than half of those that got the cash said that it really made a big difference to them. I mean, it's like, okay, thanks. I had one this morning, just a young lady was telling me that she has no idea how this is going to impact their payment of taxes next year because they're concerned that by having gotten this tax credit that they didn't really ask for in the mail, that it's going to wind up hurting them come time to pay taxes next year. Well, if you don't think there's a labor shortage, listen, when we come back from this break here in a minute, I'm going to play you some clips and talk through them a bit, but I'm looking at a story from Newsweek right now. You don't think there's an answer? Biden's own labor secretary claims to be perplexed. So U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh in Newsweek is saying that he cannot understand why the jobs report is what it is. Well, then maybe you shouldn't be the labor secretary. And he points out the fact that 183,000 people were not even counted as jobless because they didn't even look for work. That means the workforce participation rate dropped. So it's not just people needing work, it's people that are not even trying to look for work. And it's all because of actual policies. It says right here, he defended his economic policies as consistent and steady progress, but those policies are not panning out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, it is now 2:36 p.m., October the 14th. That's a Thursday, and we have some breaking news. So just in the last few minutes, probably the last 20 minutes, I believe it is, Governor Ivey has announced that the special session for redistricting of the state's legislative districts, congressional districts, school board districts, they're all being redrawn because of the census data. They do that every 10 years. And the special session on that has been delayed because, first of all, the federal government was late getting its information out. Now it's being delayed a little bit more, or has been delayed because, I'll be honest with you, I think the state legislature has been real slow to deal with it. But October 28th is now the date set to start the special session. So that just came in just literally like in the last half hour. Lawmakers back in Montgomery starting October 28th. Here's one of the problems with it. All right, so I don't mind them redrawing. They had to redraw the lines multiple times while I was down there because of the original census data, and then because there was a lawsuit and we redrew them slightly after that. But all said and done, it's got to happen. That's part of what we do. You got all your state house, your state senate, your congressional districts, and school board districts are all being redrawn. And so based upon where you live, you may find that you have a change. You may think you're in Representative so-and-so's district, and now you're going to be by next year in Representative so-and-so's district. So it's changing the way your elections could run. It's changing the way you may be represented. But here's the problem. Public input on this has been like next to nothing. Now, have they done tours? Yes, they have. But they've done tours to get input. The maps are not even ready yet. They're talking about they might not even have the maps ready until like just within a week of the session even starting. I'm not sure how that's good. And I heard just a little while ago, a couple of days ago actually, I know of one particular legislator who is extremely strong on school choice, who is opposed by the teachers union, who may be having her district redrawn to try and throw a bone for the teachers union and make it more of a liberal district. I don't want to see that kind of junk happening. And that kind of gerrymandering needs to stop. But anyway, the reality is we need to see the maps. And I hope we're going to wind up having some good solutions come out of this. But special session, October 28th, breaking news right here on Right Side Radio. All right, so listen, going back to the topic at hand, the triple dipper for the day, I'm talking about supply chain madness. Where does the supply chain madness even come from? So I want to try and break this out a little bit and get into what's happening. Why can you not expect to see everything you would normally buy for Christmas on the shelves, or for that matter, even expect an Amazon delivery to get here on time? Talking to one friend this morning, her little boy's birthday party is this weekend. They've had his presents on order from Amazon for quite a while, and it looks like it might not even be here on time. I think they ordered it like several weeks ago, and they're looking at maybe not even coming in by this weekend's birthday party. That kind of stuff's getting real common, it seems like. Well, Copper, you got clip two? I see the ready up on the board. Okay, so listen. Clip two is kind of an explanation of how policies swirl together to create economic difficulty. Go ahead and play David Avella from GoPac is talking on Fox. Go ahead and play clip two.
Time when we should be bringing more supply chain home. Ultimately, you have the Biden administration enacting policies that are going to make it worse, including the $1 trillion in reconciliation that they want to continue to pump more government money into the system, only making inflation go higher so that we can I mean, think about this. We're going to pass a reconciliation bill that we're going to have to borrow money from China that we don't have so that we can, what's in this bill, we can have more solar panel and climate troops. And who's the number one beneficiary of the most important part of a solar panel? The manufacturers are in China. All of this is to the benefit of China. And again, this administration, all they want to do is put more government money and we get more inflation and we don't get dolls for our children for Christmas.
You hear what I'm saying? So I was saying the exact same thing in a different way is the fact that there's a number of different policies swirling around. How much can we spend? Well, when you sling all that government money into the economy, it drives inflation up. Okay, the inflation's up, but now we've got inflation up, but we've also got supply chain disruption, which means that goods are harder to get, which means some of them become more costly anyway. And then you've got on top of that the fact that gas at the pump has gone up because we're not energy independent right now. And so think about this. So we've suddenly got an issue being recognized finally by the federal government that we have a complete logjam at our ports. Well, we're not energy independent because he cut off things like the Keystone Pipeline and put a moratorium on offshore drilling and the cessation of any exploration in the Alaskan wilderness. And so suddenly we're having to import oil. We weren't about a year ago, but now we're importing oil. Where does the oil get imported through? Oh, yeah, the ports. And so when you see things like this all begin to coalesce, you begin to wonder, huh, how did we get here? Well, maybe it's an all of the above. Liberal policies begin to stack up on top of each other, and they begin to coalesce into economic disruption, part of which is our supply chain. The supply chain, think about this, it's like dominoes. If you're backed up at the ports, then you've got to get more people in there to unload at the ports because they don't stop the ships from coming. They keep coming and they keep stacking up offshore. And then if you don't have the trucks to ship the goods from the ports or the rail lines operating to run the rails, then you can't get the goods out to the sea stores. And if you can't get them to the distribution hubs, they can't get into the store shelves. They can't get into your pocket or your house. It's just, it's a supply chain. And so the reality is these policies are stacking up. So what's America's port crisis look like? I'm looking at an article right now from the New York Times, all right? It's talking about the fact that Savannah has like nearly 80,000 shipping containers stacked up in the port, 50% more than usual. These steel boxes are just sitting there, just piled up, man. 700 containers have been left at the port by their owners for more than a month, said the port operator. And that's a huge deal. And so it comes to this in the big supply chain disruption. They're running out of places to store things at the ports, but they can't get it out of the storage because the trucks are not operating at the usual levels. And what they're not talking about as much is a lot of the longshoremen, the unions, are not wanting to work the overtime. And then on top of that, the ports have to pay the overtime if they do. I mean, it's a mess. But it's because we've paid people to stay at home, and we've done so much to limit the capabilities of our usual supply chain. I mean, this is the United States of freaking America. We can get something made and to the shelf in record time like nobody else in the world. We import, export. We've got the vast highway systems. We got the farm-to-market roads. We've got the ability to do it. And right now, it's the liberal policies that we're seeing enacted mostly by the federal government, and then a lot of times in coalition with their liberal brethren and sistren right there at the state level, California being the prime example. Why do you think the California ports are the worst to deal with right now? Because they're in California. So here's one good news for you. And Copper, go ahead and get clip four ready. But something you might want to know. How are things at home? Well, you got the port of Mobile. Don't forget, one of these ports is ours. How does this impact us? Well, the Port of Mobile just reported its third highest lift ever in container volumes, a 27% increase over the same time last year. They've literally had, when it comes to their refrigerated containers, they're up 46% over last year. They've added vessel calls to support the Asia trade. It says they've coupled with domestic retail consumption and increasing congestion throughout traditional West Coast, East Coast gateways. I'm reading you the article directly here. But what I'm basically saying is a lot of the shift has come to the Port of Mobile, and the Port of Mobile has been handling it. Why? Because it's in Alabama. That's why. Is it still backed up? Certainly. Not like California. Alabama's open for business. 3.3 unemployment. And so the intermodal container transfer facility right there in the Port of Mobile, that's where they ship containers off the ships and into the trucks or the rails. It says it's reported its second highest volume ever, 223% increase over this time last year, 703% compared to 2019. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your Alabama Port of Mobile. That's good news. I like hearing it. That also means jobs in our state and people using our roads and goods coming through our ports. In California, meanwhile, it's incredible the impact they can have on us. So Copper, clip four, I think we got time. Let's go ahead and clip four is William Lajeunesse on Fox News. And he gave a great description of what we're seeing with regards to the port issues. Copper, go ahead and play clip four.
The backup of ships in the ocean waiting to be unloaded is really because they don't have the drivers to take off the goods.
58 ships are anchored off the ports of LA and Long Beach, waiting weeks to offload their cargo. Part of the president's solution is adding another shift of longshoremen and opening the ports to truckers from 3 to 7 a.m.
When you consider the supply chain, it's a system of systems. And the only way you're going to see efficiencies and fluidity across the system is if every segment of the supply chain realigns. And we're taking the first step.
Port officials say every segment of the supply chain must work or none of it will. Without the warehouse space, truckers are also paralyzed, just like the ports. Today, the White House said major freight haulers, UPS and FedEx, and retailers like Home Depot and Walmart agreed to utilize the night shift, relieving some pressure on the port.
By taking the lead, they will demonstrate how valuable these nighttime operations can be and how critically important they are, especially right now in this crisis.
That crisis includes inflation.
All right, so what you're hearing right there is the Biden plan yesterday. So yesterday, President Biden stood up and gave another one of his speeches. He did one today, too. I think that lasted like 3 minutes. Both times took no questions. I heard the other day that he's only taken like nine questions or no questions in the last 9 days. It literally, in fact, I was live on the air when he was doing the press conference about the ports issue, and he finished his statements and did what he usually does. He turns around 45-degree angle and boom, makes a beeline for the door. All you can see is the thinning hairline on the back of his head as he heads for the door. No questions. But what he's done here is he has said, we're going to make things better. We're asking that they hire more longshoremen. Okay, well, that's great. Who's paying for that? Oh, you're looking at giving a government infusion out of your $3.5 trillion Build Back Better plan that hasn't passed and may never pass? So what is the solution here? Well, you created the problem. Now you want to throw more government intervention at the problem. And that's a self-licking ice cream cone right there and does nothing for the big picture. All right, folks, we got to take that short break. When we come back, I'm going to kind of wrap this topic up a little bit. Supply chain. How does this impact Alabama? Well, have you heard about the expansion of an auto manufacturer over in Cullman? That's good news. But we have other manufacturers that are actually kind of shutting down some of their operations because they can't get the things they need to do their work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm real quick. This is big doings, all right? I was out there again with Charlene just the other night. Beautiful, beautiful evening. That place is incredible. And if you have not checked out Otter Creek Farm, I want to encourage you, just look at their website. That's all I'm saying. look at their website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com, and you will quickly realize that they are indeed one of the premier wing shooting destinations in the Southeast. They're so good they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine. They are a wedding venue. They are a place where you can have corporate retreats or just stay overnight and enjoy a beautiful meal and just sit outside by the infinity pool and stare at the beautiful manicured acreage. I'm telling you, the place is incredible. And you'll quickly learn when you look at it on the website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com, why Donald Trump Jr. thought it was a great enough place to go ahead and come stay and do a little hunt himself not long ago. I'm telling you right now, Otter Creek Farm. Go to OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Love that place. All right, so listen, we're finishing up this segment here we're doing on number one on the Triple Dipper is supply chain madness. And I'm talking about the fact that it's policies in general across the board that begin to coalesce and to create the supply chain problem that we're facing. So, but it's so much bigger than just, are we going to have enough toys on the shelf for Christmas? Is Amazon going to be able to get that package to my front porch? Am I going to be able to find toilet paper in the grocery stores? It's way bigger than that. It's also about jobs right here in our own state. Great article right now I pulled off of, this one came off of AL.com. No, this came off of Yellowhammer. Yellowhammer reported this just a few days ago. German auto supplier, I think it's pronounced Rehau, R-E-H-A-U, Rehau out of Coleman, announced a $50 million expansion creating 125 new jobs. That's cool. They're a tier two manufacturer of auto parts. They put together the things that it takes to put together cars, right? And it's, like I said, a $50 million expansion, 125 new jobs. The problem we got, though, right now, is that even these jobs in Alabama, even though our port is humming right now, even though our economy is great and our employment is at the, unemployment, I'm sorry, is down at one of the nation's lows at 3.3%, I think it is. But the supply chain being disrupted everywhere else and the fact that we receive some of what it takes to make the parts to make the cars is creating gaps in some of our manufacturing base right here in the state of Alabama. I won't name the names, but I know for a fact because I was talking to my friends at ZLA Solutions, one of the team members that we do advertising for on the show here. And ZLA staffs quite a few auto manufacturing plants and other major manufacturers. And they're seeing, you know, whole shifts being held off right now and shutdowns on certain lines because they don't have what it takes through the supply chain to run the lines right now. That's a big deal. That's employment in our state. So California needs to get its act together. The ports of Savannah and others need to get their act together. And the Biden administration's got to stop putting these policies in place that pay people to stay home, disrupt the ability to have a supply chain, drive inflation through the roof, create energy dependence as opposed to independence, all of which coalesces to create a supply chain madness. I think we got time. I got one more clip. Let's see, that one last clip lasts right at a minute. So Copper, clip one, are you ready for that? Go ahead and play clip one, Senator Tom Cotton talking about supply chain woes. Go ahead.
He said he made some phone calls today. Joe Biden got on the phone, said he's going to call companies, tell them to hire more truckers. Does he hear how silly that sounds? He can't get truckers because no one's working because of all these mandates and free money.
Well, for months, Jesse, the United States government under Joe Biden has been paying people not to go to work. That's one reason why it's been so hard to get workers. And now Joe Biden is threatening to fire people if they won't get a vaccine, even if they've had the coronavirus, even if they have natural immunity. And again, he's acting surprised that this shortage is happening, and he's acting like a photo op at the White House is going to solve it, that it's going to put money back in people's pockets when they're paying $3 or $4 a gallon for gas, and they're paying an extra $20 to $25 a week for their groceries. I mean, I guess on the bright side, they don't have enough money to spend on Christmas toys under Joe Biden's inflation. So maybe it won't be a problem that they don't have enough toys at the shelves on the stores to buy them in the first place.
Well, we talked about it at the top. This guy's never run a business. Hunter Biden is his portfolio manager. If Hunter is in charge for balancing your checkbook, I think this country has a lot of problems.
There it is. A coalescing of various policies, a lack of experience and never having led something or run a business. And now the policies have created the problems in our supply chain. And now they want to try and fix the supply chain by enacting more policies. I'm just telling you, folks, let the market do its work. it will work out. Let the free market be free. And if we'll see that happen, you'll see your supply chain break open. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back right at the top of the hour. Justin Bogey from the Policy Institute here to talk about whether we're going to see any tax breaks come out of Montgomery. We'll be right back.